Today on Ask the Podcast Coach, how much is too much? And we're going to ask you a question. How much are you spending on your hobbies?
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, here it is. Saturday morning. Time to talk a little podcasting. This is Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson. And joining me right over there via Skype, the one, the only, Jim Cullison. How you doing this morning, Jim?
Greetings, Dave. Good morning to you.
You can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. And if you'd like to join in on the conversation, we would really, really, really like to have you this morning. Go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, and we've got a chat room going over there. You can hear the show being streamed. I know a lot of you are streaming us now on your phone, which is kind of cool. Always appreciate to have you here. But the question I have for the audience today is, what are you spending on your hobbies? Because the reason I ask that is it seems like everybody wants to podcast for free, which, who doesn't want to do stuff for free? I'm not saying that's a horrible thing, but it's when I hear people say, you know, I can't podcast because I can't afford it. And I'm like, really? Okay, well, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, we went to the movies. And I'm like, really, what'd you see? Well, we went and saw Stallone and what's the other guy? De Niro in boxing match, whatever, grudge match. And I saw that movie. It was horrible. Sylvester Stallone should not act ever. Just
again. Yeah, he should be done.
Yeah. Please don't make, please don't make him talk. And because he can at this point. It's like, you're like, what? What's he doing? And I was on a podcaster's roundtable this week. I believe it's up now. And we were talking about this, and I lost it. I really did. I was like, because somebody's like, $10. Because we're talking about, should your podcast have an app? And that's a whole nother conversation. But the person was going, should I have an app? Should I spend $10 a month? And I just went, come on now. If you go to the movies, it's, you know, $30, $40 a month, a movie. If you get popcorn, forget about it. And so that was my question. I was like, how much do you spend? So, Jim, you like to run. Does that cost you a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not cheap. I do it about as cheap as I can.
All right. If you'd like to call in, the number is 888-563-3228. We're up and running now. Anywho, I had a question, though, that came up over the week. And I thought, ooh, this would be a good Ask the Podcast Coach question. It came in from Tina, who does SavvyHomeschoolMoms.com. That's SavvyHomeschoolMoms.com. And she said she was listening to a WordPress. I forget the name of it exactly, but some sort of WordPress roundtable type thing. And they were doing a Google Hangout, and they had 10 people on the Hangout. And she said it was completely unlistenable because people were just talking over each other, et cetera, et cetera. And Jim, I know you do a lot of live stuff. When you do it, is it just you, or do you have a panel? Or
yeah, in most cases it's always a round table, but I really work hard to limit that number to about four. I think more than that, and it does get unruly. And in an hour, you know, it's kind of hard to get anybody's opinion. I mean, somebody's going to get left out, I think, if it's five or more. You're going to have somebody sitting there the whole time, you know, not really saying much. So I that's what I do. I kind of limit it to four, and that's not a hard limit. I've had more than that before, but it gets unruly. If you're going to have more than that, I would think you don't have some rules. Or I am facilitating at work. We do this Financial Peace University, which I know you're familiar with, Dave. Yeah, we do Financial Peace through our credit union. And so they have a group of, I think that's 10 or 11 that they use. And I sat down with the moderator in advance and said, you have to call on people. You cannot ask questions like, so what do you guys think?
Right.
You can't do that, right? That's horrible. You're going to get, first you'll get nobody because everybody's afraid to step on each other. And then finally three people have the courage to say something and they'll all step on each other and then they'll never say anything again. So, you know, you've got to be very deliberate and kind of run it like a show, right? You've got to call out on people. You've got to call them by name. You've got to direct traffic. You have to guide the conversation. You got to cut people off when they go too far, those kinds of things.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. Cause I told her, I said, that is a problem. The more you add, you're going to have somebody, especially, it's funny how we're all trained, of course, from the time we were knee high to not interrupt people. It's rude. And in those situations, in some cases, if you're going to get your word in, you just have to interrupt people, or you want to interrupt people because they said something and you're like, oh, that's a great point. And you just want to chime in. And so when you have, you know, 6, 7, 10 people, I just think is unheard of. And, you know, that would be just a mess of people interrupting that person who interrupted that person. And, yeah, I think you're right on the right track there. I know, when I'm on a panel with Ray Ortega and Daniel J. Lewis over the Podcasters Roundtable, he usually does a good job of saying, you know, Dave, what do you think about such and such? Or Daniel, what do you think? And then usually it's that person will answer the question. And then it's kind of, there's this little, it's not even an awkward pause, it's just a pause where it's kind of like, hey, if you're going to jump in, this is where you do it kind of thing. But yeah, I can't imagine having 10 people. The other...
Dave, video, I just interrupted you.
That's all right.
Video changes that a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can, if you're watching for your audio, your audible or your visual cues, you know, I know I've been podcasting with a guy at Gallup now for, we've done 15, 16 shows together, and he knows when I come up to the microphone, right, that I'm going to say something. So he looks, you know, he'll cue me in. Hey, Jim, what do you think? You know, you got something. And so you can watch for those cues as well, because if somebody wants to say something, they'll come right up to the mic.
That is true. That's one example of where video really does help, because you can visually cue people that, you know, wave your hand. Hey, I'm next, or something like that.
Right. Well, you can tell, right? I mean, you've been in a group conversation and you know the guy that's just dying to say something. I mean, he's waiting for the conversation to finish, for that person to, you know, just stop their sentence.
Right.
So you can jump right in. Well, you can see some of those cues when you got the video rolling. So that's why for big groups, I couldn't imagine. I mean, anything over 4 without video would just be a nightmare. With video, it'd be almost manageable. I mean, you'd have to be a strong host and really guide the conversation.
Absolutely. Mike Howard here in the chat says he loves the fact that he's here live because he gets to hear all the things are going, oops, that didn't work.
Hey, Mike and I have done a lot of podcasting together, and I cannot tell you how many weird live things have happened to us. So it's just part of the game. It is kind of fun. You know, as a show about podcasters, it's kind of fun to get to see the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
You
know? Ryan has a great point. He says, Ryan K. Parker from RyanKParker.com. He says, there are two things when it comes to, you know, having a panel. One, if you don't have a strong moderator, because you do need somebody to direct traffic, and especially if people, you know, take a tangent of a tangent of a tangent, you got to keep people on topic in some cases. And then he says the other one is if you have the overzealous guest, right, that is just hogging the show. There was a panel at New Media Expo, and it was Leah Laporte, Noah from Stitcher, and I cannot remember the guy's name from Westwood One, and he just kind of took over the whole show. It was almost his kind of panel at that point. And Leo was technically the moderator and kind of reeled him in. But in the end, it was kind of like, well, that was a nice Westwood One presentation. So he kind of took over. And yes,
yeah.
Ryan is from thefoodcraftsman.com. So there you go.
I think, too, with some of those from a moderation standpoint, in controlling those guests that, you know, get a little, well, and let me just say this. Sometimes you might have a couple guests too, especially if you've been podcasting a lot together,
mm-hmm.
You know, so say you have a regular round table and you and Daniel and Ray do a nice job of not doing this, I think on Podcasters Roundtable, but cause you guys all know each other now. So maybe I'll use the exception, cause there was a time when Daniel kept pulling out his award.
Yeah.
It was like, that's kind of an inside joke that,
yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, the first time it was really funny. The second time, it got a little, you know, I think just as a critique, it got kind of, everybody kind of went, yeah, you know, we got to watch our inside jokes.
That is true.
You know, because the audience, especially if you have a new audience, like, I mean, imagine somebody who didn't know in that case that, you know, he won the award and they're like, okay, so why is he doing this? You know? Kind of thing, and you don't want to explain the joke every time. So that's a minor criticism, you know. Don't take me wrong there, but it is a good example of how I think we have to be very, very careful of our inside jokes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I used to, I think it was called the 80s show. And what used to drive me somewhat nuts about that podcast is they had a Blue Yeti literally set up in the middle of a table. And I think they had five people on the show. They talked over each other all the time. And there must have been some sort of hand signaling going on. It was an audio only podcast that people would just laugh for what appeared to be no reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, making funny faces at each other.
Yeah. Or they would do something that just like it was some sort of sentence that to the end listener, you're like, okay, but they were just busting a gut and, you know, I'm like going, all right, I must have missed something somewhere. And that's like, well, you said, it's the inside joke.
On the flip side of that, Dave, though, in, you know, with a really small community, right? If you have a podcast that's reaching a really small niche community, if you feel like that audience knows you really well and you're not, maybe you're not having huge growth numbers, you're not having outreach, you can probably get away with some of that. You know, you can, in fact, your audience may really like it. It may make them feel engaged in what you're doing with it as well. So this may be, and maybe I'm just kind of working this out in my own mind as we're talking about this. I know the audience, right? Know who your audience is. If it's a very tight niche and that's what your audience loves and they're there for that, I mean, I think that could actually help in some cases. But if you're growing, if you're adding new listeners, if you're really trying to do outreach or growth, that may hurt you. I mean, I know of a situation this last week where I got a note from a listener who was listening to somebody else's podcast and they were like, you know what, I'm done with that podcast because I don't like the way they treat each other.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, okay, well, there's a lesson learned. You know, I should think about that. So maybe it's not a hard and fast rule, but I think you need to watch, you know, as a podcaster, you need to watch those relationships and make that determination. What are we really trying to do here? And is it fitting our audience?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. If you're rude to each other, that's going to kind of turn people off.
And maybe turn them on. It's because, you know, there's some sports programs that where that's really appropriate. I mean, smack talk and people, the sports guys would love that, right? But do you do a tech show that way? You know, I guess it's just know your audience, right? There's not a right answer in there except to know who you're talking to.
Yeah. This is an interesting question. I might have to ask Uncle Google here. Dustin in the chat room is saying, what is the recommended speed someone should have to conduct interviews over Skype? My kind of default haha answer is as fast as you can afford. But you also want to do things like turn off anything. Like right now, as we speak, I looked up and I'm like, oh, holy cow, I've got Adobe Audition open. So I'm going to close that. Not that that uses bandwidth. It just uses up memory. And you want to kind of let your computer focus on Skype as much as possible. And so anything, I didn't even think about it. I will have Dropbox open. Well, I'm not uploading files to Dropbox during that, but my clients are. And so it's still connecting to Dropbox to let me know that, hey, so-and-so gave you a new, you know, file or whatever. And I don't know that that's going to chew up a lot of bandwidth, but it is taking the computer's attention away from Skype, and depending on how beefy your machine is, that could be a problem. So anything that's using any kind of bandwidth, another one, if you can, like I tried today, one of my problems, I looked over and I went, oh man, I forgot to plug in the cable into the laptop. So we're actually running wireless today for Jim. Is anything that you can be connected to, go connected instead of wireless. And if you have a wireless, tell the kids, hey, shut down the video games for the next half hour or things like that, because that'll affect your overall speed. If, you know, so-and-so's downloading music or, you know, streaming Netflix or whatever, things like that. Jim, any insights on that?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. It's in fact, so I'm looking at my, you know, I have a pfSense router that I can, you know, I route all my traffic through so I can kind of monitor what's going on. Mm-hmm. In the house, and it had been flatlining with almost nothing, and then all of a sudden, whoop, and I'm, you know, somebody is downloading something in the house at about 20, you know, at about 20, which is, you know, I have 60 down, so 20 is not too bad, but it's you know, you start going, oh yeah, I need to be careful. So yeah, wire whenever you can. That's the perfect. Hey, can I break in? I did a remote and I learned some of these things this week. So
oh,
can
yeah.
I break into that?
Yeah.
So So I went out to a local high school and we did a podcast on 3D printers, which was pretty cool. Fits right into the tech podcast that I do, fits right into the recruiting that I do for Gallup and the high school internship program. So it was really a very cool, lots of different things going on around that. But a couple lessons along those lines. We did Wi-Fi with the school. Probably not a great idea to go on the school's Wi-Fi. So we used a Google Hangout. Excuse me. We used a Google Hangout to do this, and it looked good on my end, but not. It wasn't great in post production. You know, it was really the video was sketchy. One of the things, I took a little soundboard with me because we were using multiple mics, and it sounded great in my ears, but I realized I had not flipped the Google Hangout over to the soundboard. Going in, I connected it via USB, and so I was, guess what I was getting? I was getting the camera mic off of that.
Nice.
Right? Yeah, that was horrible. And it was like all these rookie mistakes. I'm like, you know, here I'm like, oh yeah, I've done over 400 podcasts. I'm pretty good. Well, that day I wasn't so good. One of the things I think I've realized through that is anytime you're going to change your environment, right? Test, test, test.
Yeah.
Right? You got to test it. And you just got to make sure, and you got to double check. So what I should have done is I should have spun up a Google Hangout that's just a test one there and run it for 5 minutes, let it render, and then go watch it.
Yeah.
And I would have known immediately, oh, this ain't great. Now, I think the other thing is what I'm going to start doing too, especially for remotes, is I may buy a rig that's a backup, that's a video camera and a voice recorder, right? So that even though I'm doing it live on Google Plus, I'm also running that thing out of the mixer into the sound recorder so that I get really good audio that way. I've gotten too dependent on Google Hangouts. They work so well for me in almost all cases. Well, here in the studio or at work where I'm recording and I've got a very stable environment. If I'm on the road, I need to be more vigilant about testing and about trying and about, you know, you take a little extra time, show up a little extra early, do a few extra tests just to make sure that your stuff is going to work, because it's not always, you can't always guarantee on the quality of the service that you're going to get on the other end.
Yeah, that could be spooky. I know I've done different presentations on places, and I always tell people that they'll have a link to YouTube in their presentation. And I'll be like, be careful with that, because YouTube is blocked in a lot of depending on where you're doing your presentation at.
I did verify that in advance. Mike Howard makes a good point in the chat as well, that with your guests too, that they always want to come in on their Mac Mini on a Wi-Fi connection in the best spot in the house that has the worst Wi-Fi, right?
Right.
And it's one of those things, you're like, it's like my sister, every time she calls me on Skype, she wants to call me from her iPad in the other side of the house. And, you know, it's skipping and it's not really working well. And I'm like, could you get just a little closer to your router?
Yeah.
You know, a little bit for me. So there is some education that goes into preparing your guests. We've talked about guest preparation in the past. You know, that pre-call, which is really, really important to get those pre-calls in. Same kind of deal, right? You're calling in advance to test their connection. Now, I'm going to treat this remote that I did. They thankfully had their own video equipment, their own microphone kind of set up with us, because the tech teacher there wanted her own footage as well. I'm hoping between the two of us, we have enough to put together the program, because the high schooler that did the program with me did a fabulous job. And I just hate to lose that interview. So that was kind of the backup that was there. But I'm going to treat this like it was a test, and I'll probably end up going back and shooting this again, and I'll change things a little bit. I just need to have a better, I should have gone out in advance and tested it all.
Yeah, I see Zoom. I was looking for something different. They have a Q2 HD handy video recorder with a microphone and the whole nine yards. Of course, that's going to be a condenser mic, but nonetheless. And I forget, I saw one at New Media Expo. Somebody had a different model than whatever that is. But here it is. They had the Q3 video recorder that records in HD and has, you know, built-in Zoom mic. So it's kind of like an H4 with a camera tacked onto it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's really good camera equipment that is under $500 that you can, you know, as a, you can take as a portable rig, and that would really, really work for you. She had a really nice, and what do you call those mics that, that they're really long and the signal is really pointed?
Shotgun.
Shotgun mic. Thank you. They had a really nice shotgun mic, and I'll be anxious to hear how that audio came out. One of the things is we were talking about 3D printers, and we had that printer running in the background,
mm-hmm.
and we thought that would be really cool. But after 45 minutes of zoom, 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 right?
The ambience had worn off.
Maybe not so cool. So, you know, even, I guess the point, Dave, of all of this that I want to make, you know, you and I have a ton of podcasts between the two of us. If mm-hmm. you just think about the number that we do, and I'm doing three a week now. So, you know, they add up fast. You still, every once in a while, you still make those mistakes, you know? And it's good to just reflect back on them and learn from them. You know, never get to that spot where you think you got it.
Uh-oh.
It's just about that time you think you got it, man, life comes crashing down on you, just smacks you on the back of the head and goes, no, not so much.
Yeah. Well, even like this morning, I woke up to a foot of snow here in Cleveland. And instead of getting my office at 7:30, I got here about 8:30. And was kind of scrambling here to get things going. And, you know, there's a voice in my head that says, I need a checklist. That when I'm ready to go, you know, Spreaker, and then Spreaker wouldn't behave this morning and this and that. And, you know, make sure the laptop is connected via that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it is one of my mantras really since probably, you know, the early 90s. I worked for a company and they just beat it into you was constant improvement. That was like our whole thing in sales and training. It was like constant improvement. You're never done. You're always willing to learn more and see if there's a more efficient way to do that. And so, yeah, that's a great point. I did do a quick Google search to help Dustin with his question about Skype speed. According to Skype, the minimum would be 30 kilobits per second. And it says recommended is 100. So I'm not going to do a speed test now because I'm in the middle of doing this. But
don't do it.
Yeah. And it says if you're doing video, triple that. If you're doing high quality video, that's 500 kilobits per second. If you're doing video calling HD, 1.5, what is that, megabits per second? I hate when they go the bit thing because then you got to convert it to bytes.
Yeah.
If you're doing multiple people with three people, you're looking at 2 megabits per second. And then 7 people. I've never even tried to do. It says 5 people on Google. I think the most I've ever had on not Google, on Skype. I think the most I've had on Skype was 4. And that's always been audio. I don't know if we've ever done a video thing with Skype.
Skype's a little different animal than Google Plus, right? So they still have, and they would say they don't, but they still have kind of a point-to-point architecture.
Yeah.
In other words, right, everybody's a node with Skype. And so it is the case, the more callers you get, because you're pulling everybody's bandwidth. Whoever's the super node, and they're changing this, but the old way was whoever's the super node kind of controls the call. And so the best bandwidth is the weakest link at that point.
Yeah.
And so it got a little sketchy, and again, they're changing. They're actually moving the Skype infrastructure over to Azure, which will help out quite a bit. From they're going more to a server architecture for it. But Google immediately changed to a server architecture from the very beginning. So my video goes back to the server, and I only get fed those little bits of data. You know, enough to kind of keep my. You know, I only see that one bit of HD video that's being streamed. And then the recording on it is being recorded at the server, not locally. Like, even though I start it here on my PC here, I hit, you know, start broadcast where it looks like it's recording. It's actually recording the stream on the server, not locally to you, which is fantastic because it's not dependent. You don't have to stream all that high definition content back to your local, to your local PC. So Google Plus learned a lot from the Skype, from the Skype problems. And I think it is doing it right. So that's one of the advantages. Now, Microsoft's making big changes over the next 2 years to change that. And I think Skype still has really good audio quality when you've got a great connection. So I think more people are familiar with Skype than they are with Google Plus. Getting into Google Plus the first time is a nightmare. It's just horrific. And so I think Skype is easier to get in. So if you're going to do point-to-point guest and it's just going to be audio, I still say Skype is the way to go. I mean, it does work well and you get good audio quality. For roundtables and such, especially if they're going to be regular, and if you want to record the video, man, there's nothing better than a Google Plus Hangout. So it's just kind of where things are going in it with that.
Well, I know now people are excited because you can make them private. You can go in and have a Google Hangout on air and make it private. But even that is, you do it every day. So you're used to Google Plus, but I do one every now and then. Every time I do, I'm like, oh yeah, what link do I send to who on first? That whole nine yard gets a little crazy.
Well, if you're not doing it all the time too, they're constantly changing.
That's true.
Over there. And so you're like, okay, what's new today? You know, when you get in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, we should mention that if you want to get in on the conversation, that number is 888-563-3228. 888-563-3228. Open phone lines are waiting for you. Didn't that sound cool?
It does sound cool. I like it. Yeah, you've practiced that a couple times. That goes really. Speaking of practice, I've had a couple conversations with podcasters over the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about practice, you know what? I think a piece of advice I want to give to a brand new podcaster is create some podcasts that are just practice. You know, the first one that's so terrible, don't release it.
Yeah.
You know, get two or three, but especially if you're going to do a roundtable, right? Type thing. Just do a few, right? Don't feel the need to record and get it out right away. If it's good, use it. Or here's an idea, right? So do two or three or four of them, record them. There are going to be some good segments in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Use those segments as sound bites to promote your first video, right? So put those together if you're going to do some things, and maybe put it like a best of before you even have a show, but maybe your first promo video, the pilot, so to speak, is a combination of the best moments of the three or four that you did offline without the pressure while you're learning stuff, right? Get that best of going out there, prime the pump with that one, then go to your regular show.
Absolutely.
Get some practice.
And the one thing that I saw somebody did something like this morning on Google Plus, it was like, hey, here's a quick promo about my podcast. And he was, he had taken Whitney Houston singing the national anthem, sped it up, and then was lip syncing to it. And I put a note. I said, I'll give you 2 weeks before Google pulls this down because Google is not happy. YouTube is not happy about having unlicensed music, you know, there. But the other thing is it didn't say a thing about his podcast. And at the end, he didn't, nowhere in his video did he put his website address. And that kind of goes back to, you always want to figure out what your call to action is. So his call to action was obviously, hey, come check out the buzz about my podcast, but he never told us where to go. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, it was funny at first. It was kind of a long video, but if you're doing a promo, be sure to figure out what is it you're trying to do. And if it's a promo, I'm going to assume that you're trying to get people over to your website or into iTunes or something to listen to your podcast, and be sure to make it obvious where to go. You know, it's not enough to, you know, you can put that link down to in the notes of YouTube, but in some cases, if you're embedding that video, you know, someplace else, they don't see your link. So be sure to have that link there in your promo.
And let me share this too, from a little story from Mike Howard. Cause you know, again, he and I and I started to keep bringing him up, but we do a lot of work together, Mike and I do. And he had bought some music that was royalty free, you know, purchased it. And I said, yeah, you can use it for your stuff. You know, off one of these where services for $10, you get 10 songs, whatever. Right. And they're all supposed to be royalty free. And one of the artists, it looks like, had said, no, I want my stuff. No, I don't want my stuff to be on YouTube or whatever. And had submitted it to it's copyrighted music. And so however Google does that, they started running the algorithm, and at least once a day, each one of Mike's video podcasts that he'd done on YouTube, he started getting that notification that, you know, hey, this video contains copyrighted material. And how frustrating, right? Now he's got 100 podcasts out there with this music in it, and Google's really flagging it. You know, every time YouTube's flagging it. So, man, music is a hard, hard thing, especially if you're going to be on YouTube. You have to be, I think today, you have to be extra vigilant to make sure that you're not using music that's going to show up on a list somewhere.
And you're kind of, it's kind of a danged if you do, damned if you don't. If you use the music that YouTube, I mean, they have a whole library of stuff you can use, but then you're going to end up sounding like everybody else.
Right, right.
Like you can't win.
Yeah, no, the thing I think, and you're a musician, Dave, so you could sit down and probably record a few of your own riffs.
Right.
You know, support a local musician. Here's what I've done. So support a local musician. Go find somebody that's struggling to, you know, that just loves music. Ask them to record a couple riffs for you.
Yeah.
Use that, right? That's original. Give the credit to the musician. Let them, you know, just give them a little credit. They're not going to, it's live and original stuff. Just try that and see how that works. I've done that. My son is in a band and they're independent. So they don't have a, you know, cause some artists, you have to worry about the producers behind the scenes, right? The record company or the label, whoever's paying for it. They own the rights, not the musicians. So the music, you talked about that in School of Podcasting a couple months back with the Matthew West track, but they don't own the rights to it. The artist doesn't own the rights to it. So anyways, get it local. So my son's band did some Christmas music and it was completely independent. And I just asked him for permission and I played it. I pulled little bits of it out for my intro and then I played the whole song at the end, a little bit inspired by you because you've done that on that podcast. And trying to promote them a little bit as well. So see if you can hook up with a local musician.
Yeah, a great place to find them is at CD Baby. I actually found the theme music for one of my podcasts, and I just went over to that artist and said, hey, can I use your music as my theme music? I'm going to use, you know, From Here to Here, and, you know, I'll be sure to mention you occasionally, and you'll have a permanent link on my front page in the sidebar. And he's like, hey, do with it what you want. Awesome. Great. So, you get a lot more, you get a lot more flexibility. And yeah, the great thing with the Matthew West thing, because the problem is you have the songwriter who isn't always the person that sings it. Then you have the person, the performer, and then you have the record label. And all those three people have to agree that you can use that, you know, recording of it. And in the case of Matthew West, they wanted me to pay $300 an episode. And I saw Dan Miller at New Media Expo, who uses Taking Care of Business about on his show by Bachman Turner Overdrive. And I said, how did you get that? You know, and he said it took 9 months of emailing back and forth because record labels have no clue what a podcast is. They don't get it. They're talking streaming. He's like, no, it's downloaded and blah, blah, blah. And he said it took 9 months. He said they finally sent him a contract. He said I had to cross out half of it because it just didn't pertain to what I was doing. Sent it back. He said there was just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So for me, I got other things to do than email. So when they said $300, I went, okay, never mind. I'll just stick with my own theme music.
Yeah. No, we had talked about expensive hobbies. Mm-hmm. That is a little too much, right? You don't make that kind of, you know, that kind of money to be able to pay $300 an episode to put that thing out there for sure. We had, when we first started Home Tech, actually one of the guests or one of the hosts was a musician. And so I think we get 5 episodes in where we use some other music that I had available to me. And then I said, hey, Brian, could you just record a little riff? You know, and he's like, well, what are you thinking? And so he sat down with his iPhone and his guitar and he's got, you know, the rig to plug into it and just recorded some guitar stuff and sent me about 5 or 6 tracks and said, what do you think? You know, and I picked one and then he cleaned it up a little bit and add some drums and bass to it all through GarageBand. And we just had a lot of fun with it. And that can be one of those kinds of things where you can really have kind of create your own deal, right? Not that you don't have to kind of follow somebody else's tune,
right?
Create your own identity through that stuff. And musicians love that. I mean, they especially the ones that aren't famous yet.
Oh yeah.
They'll love it.
Well, in a way it can be used then to grow your audience. Cause it'd be like, hey, this guy just used my song for, you know, their theme music and he'll send, you know, their audience over there and things like that.
If you don't know anybody local, go out to SoundCloud and friend a bunch of musicians, right? I mean, just that's a community for struggling musicians. And so look around for some stuff that you think you like, friend one of them. And it's a great platform for one, for you to be able to hear it, two, for you to be able to communicate with them, right? It's an open social platform, and send them a note and say, hey, I'm a podcaster. I'm thinking of this. Would you create, and this is what I think is key. Ask them to create an original for you and not post it anywhere.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, that way it's not getting picked up and being used by anybody else. And you know, and if it's honestly, if it's really good, pay them a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Buy them a freaking gift card or something. You know, it's worth it.
Yeah, I got a question. Also, another one. This came in during the week. This is from a guy from the Member of the School of Podcasting. I also met him out at the New Media Expo. And he is using a Roland R-05. And I thought, you know what? It's one of those things we kind of assume people just know. And in case he didn't, he was asking what sample rate to use. And he was saying he was using 44.1. And then he was using 24-bit WAV files. And then he said on the player setup, he added reverb to match his mixer settings. And I went, uh-oh. So I wanted to point that out, that in theory, I always recommend everybody, you're going to get natural reverb just from whatever room you're sitting in. But you always want to record, I always just call it dry. In other words, no effects. If I do anything, maybe I'll compress a little bit, but especially I'm going to stay away from reverb. Because all it really does is make you sound like you're in a cave. And, yeah, that adds a little bit to it. And I always recommend 16-bit for the wave recording, mainly because almost everything I ever get is in 16-bit stereo wave. And if you try to mix like a 16-bit wave file in an Audition or an Audacity, sometimes if you try to mix bits, it gets a little cranky and you have to convert things. I know I have clients that send me things and they've recorded it in, I think it's 44.8 or I don't know, something else. And you always have to convert everything to get it on the same kind of, I don't know, format, I guess, so that it all plays nice together. So that's something I thought, hey, that's something I can bring up here on.
Yeah, that's super techie too. I like it.
It's super tough. Let's go into the deep pool, shall we? Yeah. Absolutely.
Throw him into the deep end. Hey, Rich has got a good question out there in chat. He says he gets, maybe not a question, but a statement.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing an internal company podcast, right? So he's a lot of people are still saying they don't have a clue what a podcast is, right? We've talked about this in the past, this idea of when you use the word podcast, I think more people know what it actually is. Mm-hmm. I just think they think it's so super nerdy that they don't want to be associated with it. You know, it's kind of like, ooh, I know these guys have played Dungeons and Dragons, they're into podcasts. You know what I'm saying? It's got kind of that feel to it, you know, and it hasn't gone mainstream. You know, when we started our Gallup podcast back in the summer, for the first couple of months, it was like that. People are like, what are you doing? You know, because we promoted it not only externally, but internally as well. And we actually had a lot of people start to listen to it. And I don't make a big deal. In fact, I have done everything I can not to call it a podcast internally. Yeah. We've called it, you know, and it kind of depends who I'm talking to. For the coaches that were the external people that are listening to it, we call it a webcast or a webinar because that's what they're used to. That's what they're used to knowing. So in their mind, I've changed the definition of a webinar. You know, they think of a webinar as dial in, put a code,
right,
be on the phone. Well, hey, this is just a live webinar on YouTube, right? Oh, you can do that? Sure. They don't even ask questions anymore. They just, you know, they show up in droves and, you know, we say, hey, join us in chat, right? We don't care. I recently changed the chat room software from Livestream to Chatwing.
Did you?
It took them about 15 seconds to get like figured out and they were on their way, right? We didn't make a big deal about it. We didn't release videos on how to do it. We just said, hey, get in there. There's a few ways to do it. Now join us. And I had very few problems with that. Internally at the company, we just, now that people like, once they figured out what we were doing with it and they watched a couple of them, now we have to ask them not to do it in, you know, hey guys, we're doing a show today. We call it a show or a program, mm-hmm, type thing. We're doing a show today. Can you guys not all watch it? Because it's going to kill our bandwidth for the company, right?
Yeah.
So I'm begging them now, can you go in a conference room and watch this thing? It's funny how that's caught on. So I don't make a big deal about it. The other thing I did is we didn't do a lot of internal promotion to start with, and people just found it and then they felt like they were getting in on something.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, this is kind of, this is kind of cool. I'm going to watch this. And it made it feel like it was kind of rogue. And people like that kind of stuff, you know?
Behind the scenes stuff again.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm getting access to some information that I'm, you know, that not everybody's getting access to, type deal. So some exclusivity behind it. So, you know, Rich, if that's you doing that, don't worry about whether they get the name or not. Who cares about the name? If they get the content, and we really focused on the title of what we were doing. So we refer to it as Called to Coach. That's the name of the show that we do. It's Called to Coach. And we just refer to that all the time, you know? So yeah, when I was watching Called to Coach, not when I was watching, well, when I was watching the Gallup podcast called Called to Coach, you know, we, just focus on what it is and not what you name it.
Yeah.
Or what you call it.
I see where Rich says the radio show analogy doesn't seem to get the glaze out of their eyes. The buzz phrase, if there was a buzz phrase at New Media Expo, people started saying radio on demand or on demand radio.
Yeah.
And that's where if they understand, and the problem is if you get somebody who's just a complete, they're not into the whole, you know, technology. And if you say, well, it's kind of like TiVo for your radio, then they go, what's a TiVo? And you're like, all right.
Exactly.
It's like your DVR. You know,
everybody knows YouTube though.
Yeah.
And this is one thing I've been saying. We just make YouTube videos, right? It's just live on YouTube and people get that. So that's worked for me. You know, we're just live on YouTube. Oh, YouTube. They get that. Everybody knows what a YouTube video is.
That's true. Yeah. You could even use that and say, well, it's kind of like YouTube, only it's audio only. Here's the website.
Right. Yeah. If you're going to do an audio only podcast. Yeah.
And click there and you can listen.
Yeah. Or it's like an MP3, right? It's like on iTunes. They get that. Find the most popular form of that. And then if you really need to give it a name or explain it to them, I'll be honest with you though. Don't try to explain it to them. Don't explain the medium.
No.
Let the content speak for itself. Right. Because they won't care how they get it. People have figured out Chromecasts.
Right.
Because, right, they don't care that it's a Chromecast. What they love is they can push a button on their phone and it plays video on their TV.
Yeah.
That's what they love. Yeah. Right. Don't get stuck on the terminology. You know, I've said this before. It drives me crazy that we even have this discussion of, you know, what do we call it, a podcast or not?
That's right.
Irrelevant. Right. What's relevant is do they listen or not?
Yeah. Get them to the content. Then worry about what to call it.
They'll figure out how to consume it. And by the way, once they figure out how to consume it, don't change it. Don't move it around. If you're having success with a medium, leave it there and go to another platform and add to it. Don't move it. That's good. Flies in the face of what you talked about a little bit last time with Podomatic. But if you found an audience, let them continue to consume it there.
Yeah. And the last thing you'd want to do is go, yes, it's delivered by RSS. And if you want to watch somebody's eyes roll in the back of their head and drool, that would not work at all.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds like Dungeons and Dragons, right? don't do that. It won't work. Just say, hey, we're doing the show. Show sounded awkward to me over the last couple of weeks. I've been using the word program. And that seems to be a word that you know, when I have to write it, you know, join our program over at, man, one of my kids is really downloading some stuff this morning as I look at my bandwidth. Holy moly. I have to have a talk with them. They're like, Dad, when are you not podcasting?
That is true.
Yeah. So there's my two cents on that.
Yeah,
but a benefit of, to go full circle back to the beginning of the show, right? I can monitor using pfSense, totally nerdy, but using a pfSense router, which basically, most people have a Wi-Fi router. Here's a good podcasting tip, right? So most people have a Wi-Fi router and they run everything through that router. If you have a big drain in your house, a lot of people using the internet, in most cases, think of that Wi-Fi router that you own is not very powerful, to be honest with you. It's got a little tiny processor in it. It doesn't have very good hardware. It's really designed for about 4 or 5 devices to go through at any given time. And you can overwhelm it. I mean, go up and feel it. If it's hot, guess what? You're overwhelming with that little CPU that's in there. And you will get poor performance locally that way with your wireless router. So here at the Collison house, you know, everybody has a phone. So that's 5 of us with phones. We all have at least one device, some of us multiple devices. They're connected at any given time. We've got all kinds of traffic going through. So I took everything off the Wi-Fi router, built myself a pfSense router. Totally different discussion, right? We're not going to talk about that here. But I built myself a new router it's a smart router, and it's built with computer equipment. So it's designed to handle the network traffic a little bit better. And I route everything through that, but that gives me a dashboard, and the dashboard tells me, like right now, I see somebody downloading at about 24 meps. I'll find out what they're doing. I bet they're downloading games at this point. The game came out. But I can see, I can see that I have some control over my network, and it's not a bad thing, because if you're having quality of service problems, it helps you kind of track some things down. I could dig into the logs and tell you exactly who's doing that. And so, by IP address,
right.
But it's just one of those things, right? If you're having quality of service problems and you're in a house with a lot, you might have great bandwidth, but if somebody in the house is downloading an ISO, big ISO file at the same time, guess what? They're taking the bandwidth from you.
Yeah. So, all right. You ready for a pop quiz?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I failed this one miserably.
Oh, I probably will too.
When was the last time you wrote a podcast review? Like on iTunes or Stitcher?
It's been a while.
Yeah, that was me. Somebody said, I was on Nick Suberling. He does Start Talking and Recording Today. And he was like, what was the last podcast you reviewed in iTunes? And I went, I can't remember the last time I wrote. And I was like, wow, shame on me. I should be reviewing more podcasts just to say thumbs up, keep up the good job, because that always helps your podcaster, get reviewed and get more exposure and things like that. All right. So good for Ryan says just this past week. Do you remember what show it was? Because I was like, wow, I gotta like put that on like a to-do list and just do like one a week. Cause I know we have two. We now have two good reviews.
Oh, good.
In iTunes. So that's good. But I was just,
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about, the criticism. I mean, I do, if it's valid,
right.
You hated it first and you're like, yeah, they're probably right. I don't spend a lot of time dwelling on it. I just kind of push forward with stuff, but it's nice to get reviews, and I know, God, a couple of years ago, we just worked to death the iTunes review deal, right? Even to the point where, Mike Howard has a whole, instructions on his site on how to give an iTunes review.
Right.
And I'm not dissing that, it's what we've got to do. But again, at the end of the day, I don't think Mark Maron was really worried too much about his iTunes reviews when his podcast went popular, because the content was good.
Right.
And it spread word of mouth. Those are the best reviews that you get, is when you have people saying, hey, this is a great podcast. Getting people, and I know you do this a lot, Dave. Don't get mad at me. Enough on me. But I know we drive a lot of people. Hey, and go out and give us a review, because that helps us with our iTunes ranking. Well, okay, I get that. It's certainly a way of doing it. But word of mouth is really, that kind of engagement is really the best kind of engagement, which is when people tell other people and they go listen, that way. So it's a way, in my opinion, it's a way of gaming the system in iTunes.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. That's why people want it.
It's okay. We're trying to get the word out.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I do give people, because I use Stitcher. I'm still playing with my Stitcher experiment, and so far I like it. And so I give people thumbs up, and I do tweet more about shows than I do now that I'm using Stitcher. But I'd have to go back and look at the podcast app and see how easy it is to write a review in the app.
Ryan brings up an interesting point, Chad. He says, I've had one review where a guy had some great insights. It's a shame that you can't tell them thanks or ask him more questions. And, on iTunes, I don't know if you can reply yet. I like those mechanisms, like on Google+, where I've created for the show, for my shows, I've created a page and people can come out. And I would much rather have them give me criticism or appreciation out of one of those pages, where I can actually then respond back to them. That means a lot to me. When I get an email, that means a lot. I mean, for somebody to send me an email, they took some time to track down what my address was. And because for whatever reason, nobody can remember the averageguy.tv. I have no idea why that address is. So, I have people at work. Dave, I've been working with these people for 6.5 years, right? And I've showed them my page. We've talked about it. And they're like, yeah, that site, what is your site?
The normal, like, TV guy, something.
The tech dude. And you're like, hey, how hard is the average guy? But obviously it's hard. It's hard to remember.
The average TV dot guy. I don't know.
It's just funny the way that works. But So I would rather get those kind of notifications in a way I could respond to them. So I agree with Ryan out there. It's nice to be able to respond back and say thanks.
Well, I always thought it was funny when I would hear somebody do a contest. You know, we're going to pick a winner from somebody who wrote, you know, the best comment in iTunes. And I'm like, how are you going to contact that person? And or how is that person going to prove that they're RJ37?
Right.
I was like, how is that going to work? Because they were really, again, trying to game the system. And, you know, they're throwing, you know, write a review on iTunes and we'll give you a free t-shirt. I'm like, how are you going to get their address from, you know?
Well, Ryan mentions you can mention them on the show, and that's a good way of doing, of saying thanks too. And they write a review.
Right.
That means you have to monitor your reviews.
Yeah.
The second question for our pop quiz should be, how often do you go out and monitor your reviews?
Yeah, that's I don't. I do on
I
occasion. And here's the reason that I was thinking about this is, have you, obviously you've looked occasionally at your reviews, right?
Yeah. Maybe once every right. 6 months. Yeah.
Which one do you remember? Cause I don't know how many I have. I have a few, and the one I remember is the negative one.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, what is up with that? That, you know, we could get 500. Well, that'd be a bit much, but let's say you get, I don't know, 10 positive ones. And one person says, I don't know. I thought this guy was stupid. We're going to completely obsess on one that says we're stupid.
It's hard not to, but you have to.
Yeah.
You have to put that, and that's why I don't read them a lot, because I just need to push forward and trust my instincts. That's one of the things I think I've learned over the last year, is your instincts for you are almost always right. So trust them. If you feel like you want to do something, do it. And when it feels bad for you, stop.
Right.
Right. I mean, listen to what people have to say, for sure. Right. Take those criticisms. Let people change you. But at the end of the day, it's about what you do. And a lot of times what you want to do is right for you and what you should be doing. Trust those instincts and just try it. And you'll feel it. You'll know when it's not right.
Yeah.
You know, I've done some stuff and I'm like, oh, that's the worst thing I've ever done. I will never do that again. You know when it's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't need some troll, you know, some flamer to come out there and tell you that. You know well enough when you've done a good job and when you haven't.
Yeah.
So, and you know, yeah, go ahead.
Well, Ryan's got a good policy here. He's basically thanking them in his show. So anytime you get any kind of feedback from people, if that's what you want, you know, reward the action in this case. And so he's saying he's going out every couple weeks to check and thanking them. And it is always kind of weird when it's like, hey, TinyButt47, thank you so much for the review. Appreciate the 5 stars. You're like, what?
Exactly.
What was that name?
Don't create some stupid handle, by the way. Just put your name in there. Everybody knows who you are anyway.
Yeah.
That drives me bananas in chat when we get the crazy, you know, we get the crazy names in chat. And you're like, come on.
Your real name is not Jughead. I'm pretty sure.
Exactly. It's like, just tell us who you are so we can give you proper credit. You know, Dave, through this show and other things I've been listening to, I opened a number for folks to call me in, call in and leave messages. And I've never done that before. And I finally got all the mechanics together to get that done. And I had one person call in a couple weeks ago, and that was so much fun. You do that really well. And I think that's a great medium to get interaction for that. And so much so, we're starting another show at Gallup where I'm going to encourage that as well. And we'll let people call in their questions. The whole live call-in, as we've learned on this experiment, we got 2 minutes, so we'll bring this in for a landing here.
All right.
You know, as we've learned, the dial-in stuff, we're trying to use an old analog system in a new digital technology. And I think you and I have discovered this call-in queue stuff is harder and maybe not as good as you'd think it was. But
yeah.
I think allowing people to call their questions in and record it. And then I love when I listen to school podcasting, and one of my favorite things that you do is when you're listening to a call and then you talk over the call like it's real.
Yeah.
You know, and I smile every time you do that. It's a fun way of interacting. You know, yeah, you don't get back and forth, but I don't think in a lot of cases you need back and forth. You know, sometimes, you know, there's that awkward hello, you know, okay, caller, you're on the air. And then that caller's like,
right.
Hello. Right. I don't think that's good radio or good podcasting. I like this call-in idea, and then you play it. Then you can stop it and make comments, and you can, and yet those people hear their voice. And I think they're more comfortable leaving the recording than they would be if they were live on the show. So
I'm
going to do more of that.
A little behind the scenes on that. I used to listen to the message, make notes about what was in the call. And then later I would record, you know, all right, next up, we got a call from, you know, Ryan, blah, blah, blah. Take it away, Ryan. And then I would record my answer looking at Ryan's notes. And there were times when I would listen to my podcast later and go, why didn't I comment on the such and such? And so now I'm like, no, I'm going to play the, I'm not leaving. And so I'm right there with the phone call. And I, when I do a segment then where I'm going to be answering questions, it's just one big file now of me listening and playing. And that way I'm right there with it. And it just seems like I'm, I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird.
It's a great technique. No, I think it's a great technique. That's one, like I said, that's one of my favorite parts of listening to the show is you, when I'm like, oh yes, we got a caller, you know, and they're, you're going to play, somebody called in a message and you're going to, you play it and then you respond over the top of it. And sometimes you just say it, you don't stop the video. You just say it midstream, you know, shout something out in the middle of it. Sometimes you stop it and you're like, okay, gang, I got to talk about this.
Right.
That's good technique. I for me anyways, I like that technique. And I think that's something that I want to incorporate more in what I do. I think it's a little more natural. And I think it's a way to get good feedback into the show without putting the caller on the spot, especially because so many of our podcasts are time shifted.
Yeah. You know?
And so everybody can't listen all the time.
Right.
So, all right.
Absolutely.
We are out of time, Dave.
Well, next week we'll talk about what you're using to take your calls.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not rocket scientists.
Yeah, pretty much. Awesome. Well, hey, I want to thank everybody in the chat room. And I'm going to hit the right music instead. There we go. I was like, hey, that's not it. That's the call number. Well, there you go. More fun live stuff. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for joining us. If you're on the East Coast, do your best to stay warm. I know I'm up to my neck now in snow. And you can find Jim at that domain that apparently I can remember it. It's theaverageguy.tv.
Thank you.
And you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. That would be Phil, Eric, Ryan. See, I shouldn't have done this. Mike
Howard.
Rich. Dustin. Everybody else. And
Rich.
Yeah, we're here every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Tell a friend. And hey, if you feel so inclined, why not say this? Write us a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. And help us get a little love there. And we'll see you again next week. So have a great week, and we'll see you later. Take care.